Fascinating discussion. The Antichrist coming down as an ET to trick us. Aaron Judkins with us. Michael McDaniel will take your calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take your calls. We're with Aaron Judkins, Michael McDaniel. Michael, is this the grand finale, which without the timetable being put in here, that's coming up?
Yes. Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah, everything is coming to a head right here. That conflict that we talked about earlier about who's going to be possessor of heaven and earth, this is where everything is going to tumble out right at the end. This is sitting over in Leviticus 26 is the nation of Israel's entire history given to you in a nutshell. And you have a separation between the verses there that indicate five courses of punishment. And then those play out in the Bible. The first course of punishment that's described there is the 450 years of the book of Judges, and on it goes. And when you get to the fifth course of punishment, the book of Daniel tells you that that's divided into five pieces. This is the final installment in the last course of punishment where everything is on the line.
Aaron, the book, Alien Agenda, and you've got a couple other different books out there, but this one, where do you get?
Regarding the content of the book?
Did you pick it up off of Amazon? Where do you get it?
Oh, where do you get it? Well, you can go to, actually, we have an offer that if people want a signed book, we're going to discount the book for Coast to Coast listeners. By $5, and normally it retails for $22. We'll give it to the Coast to Coast listeners for $17. And Mike's got a 1-800 number for that. But online, if you want to go to the book website, is www.alien-agenda.com. They can go there, or if they want the discount, Mike can give that number.
Okay, and you got to put that hyphen in there, alien-agenda.com. What's the toll-free number, Michael?
Yeah, it's 888-605-3202. And if they tell us they're a Coast to Coast listener, then we'll give them that discount. It's $17, $3 for shipping, so it'll be $20 altogether. Or they can email us if they want, and that is at barebonesproduction@gmail.com. If you don't mind, let me give both of those again.
Sure.
The toll-free is 888-605-3202. 3202, and the email is barebonesproduction@gmail.com.
Barebone Production, no S, right? Barebone Production. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Lucy, get us started, San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Lucy.
Hi there. Can you all hear me all right?
We sure can.
Great. Thank you for taking my call. It's an honor to be speaking with
You're
all
welcome.
Three of you. I've been listening to you all since Art was on the show, and I just love it. Anyhow, I have three specific things I want to ask, and then I'll just get off the line.
Okay.
First of all, have you noticed, I know you've been noticing something, George, but a barrage of events that are so many at so many different levels that sometimes it kind of boggles the mind.
Sure does.
So many things happening all at once. And I believe there's a reason for this, a specific designated reason for this. And I'm talking about earthquakes, just people losing jobs, not having, anyway, all the things you've been talking about, George. Number two, the beginning of time, end of time, I believe that there was a time before beginning of our time, and it was eternity past, beginning of time, end of time, and then eternity future. And I think, I'm not sure, but I'm almost positive that in the spirit realm there's no time, hence a lot of prophetic stuff, you know. Anyway, that's number two. I want to know what you all take on that is, because you're Christians and you're preachers, and I'd like to know. And anything you have to say, George, as well.
Okay. All right, let's start with you, Michael, the significance of events leading up to all this. Are we seeing a lot of them now?
You know, I'm going to take a different tack than most people will take with that. although I do know that there's a line of events that are going somewhere, there is nothing that we can look at and say to ourselves, oh, this must really be here now, or this next event is right around the corner. I don't believe we have that ability. Think about how long we've been seeing UFOs. I mean, if you were going to make that determination, they would have been saying that forever, and they have. And that's why I have all this date setting that goes on. So while I agree, there is a lot of things happening, I don't think we can measure anything or time it out by that.
Okay, what do you think, Aaron?
Well, this is what the Bible calls the beginning of birth pains that we are on the fringes of. Now, I agree with Michael. We are not at that point in time yet, but it very clearly is coming to a point where a very specific event's going to happen. Matter of fact, the New Age people say that in 2012 that there is going to be a series of calamities or one single calamity that will change the course of this world, and they say it will advance them into a metaphysical quantum leap in knowledge. So everyone knows that there's something coming. It's just that we are on the fringes of this thing now. And listen, it's nothing to be seen yet. This is really very much on a scale that is so minimal now that when it gets there to that point, it will be catastrophic.
Yeah, there's no comparison with it. If the things that are going on now frighten you, well, that this is nothing.
Regarding her time question, George, Lucy was asking about time.
Mm-hmm.
We know physically through the nature of science that time is finite. Time has a beginning and it has an end. We know that the scientists say that the velocity of light is 186,282.0244866 miles per second. But that speed, that velocity, is actually slowing down. And scientists have actually taken that speed of light and slowed it down to something like 35 miles per hour deliberately. But we know that the universe, through the second law of thermodynamics, which is called the law of entropy, everything is winding down. It is not getting better. Your car breaks down. It doesn't, you know, improve over time. We age. Things break down naturally. You tell your kids to clean up the room. Well, you know, 2 hours later, it's all messy again. Things don't go from disorder to order. Things go from order to disorder. And that's what we're seeing. And time is a part of that.
Interesting. Now, when you were saying earlier, Michael, we really don't know the time or date that this is going to happen. Might it be 100 years out from now?
Or yeah, you think sure it's could.
Okay, it could be.
Yeah, and I know, boy, I just lost a bunch of folks right there because everybody loves to be able to say, boy, this is...
It's right now.
...our doorstep. But, you know, that's not it. I'm just saying that because all those complicated numerical, formulas that they employ to try to do that. Remember back in 88, there was a guy that wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1988?
Yeah.
He wrote another one to do it for the next year. He said, I was off by a year. And, then, of course, you mentioned the guy.
Harold Camping.
Harold Camping that just came up with that. Well, you know, I did a little research on that, and I found, oh, man, there are scores of those predictions that have been made through time. And the thing about this particular age, George, is we don't have those markers in this age. Now, after the rapture, there's going to be scads of markers. And there's a reason that they're going to be employed then, and there's a reason they're not being employed now, and we don't have them.
No, we don't. Okay, back to the phones. John in Milwaukee, Wisconsin's with us. Go ahead, John.
Oh, wow. Thanks for getting me through so quickly. George, I love this topic. This is, for me, the meat and potatoes of Coast to Coast AM. For those of us with eyes to see and ears to hear, this is great. I wanted to ask your guests if they had ever heard of or have any thoughts to a first Earth age, basically that mankind was here before a very, very long time ago, only not in the flesh, that it was a spiritual age. And during that time, mankind gave a knee, basically, to the fallen, the Lucifer. And that is why we are now here in the flesh. Quick story for you. I was born and raised Catholic, and my late teens, early 20s, pretty much turned my back on everything Judeo-Christian and came back to it in my 30s. And since then, I've been following the Murray family of the Shepherd Chapel. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him, but he's basically the only preacher out there I've ever heard basically saying that the aliens, the angels, the extraterrestrials and fallen angels and gods with a little g, they're all one and the same. And yes, they are in fact coming back, and they're coming back for a reason. I also think that with the Antichrist, the arrival of the Antichrist, you guys are just dead on. And I've had this vision for the longest time of, you know, ICBMs, nukes going up in the air, only they all fall to the ground like useless little trinkets, kind of like the scene in the original Matrix with the little bullets falling to the ground. And yes, out steps from some spacecraft a beautiful, magnificent human being that we all worship, because, you know, in the Greek, Antichrist means instead of Christ. And we all know the world would not accept, you know, Damien the Omen, you know, Sam Neill running for president. But what the majority of the world would accept and love and worship is the alien giving us some story about our creation, because he would be the sweetest of liars.
Let's let you react to that, Michael.
Well, you know, with regard to that spiritual age, you know, there are some ideas out there about a pre-Adamic earth a time when perhaps the angels are, habitating the earth. The Bible has a couple of verses that, depending on how you look at them, you could make a case for that. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to convince anybody one way or the other, you know, in just a short answer about that. But I do know that but he's right when he says that all of that is tied up together and they are coming back and it is for a purpose. And I will tell you now that most of the world is going to believe the lie. That's the way the Apostle Paul says it. There's only going to be a remnant that's going to be able to see through that. That's one of the reasons, George, that we wanted to write this in a book, is because when this age is over, there needs to be something there that someone could pick up and say, once these events begin to happen, and just suppose for a moment that Aaron and my understanding is right. If it happens that way, they would be able to pick up this book and say, you know what, somebody saw this. And they didn't just dream it up, but they actually saw some things in the Bible. And it would give them a place to go to be able to say, here's what I ought to expect, here's what I should do, and here's what I shouldn't do. And that's one of the reasons we really wanted to put this in book form. In fact, that's so important to me that in our church, we've actually got a DVD behind a glass plate, like a fire hose. And it says, in case of rapture, break glass. And that's to tell people, hey, this is what you're about to see. This is what's coming. And don't think about it the way that people talked about it before, because now it's all going to be different.
Well, now, what do I do? Let's assume this entity comes here within our lifetime and truly wants to broadcast to the world on, for example, Coast to Coast AM. How do we know that we're being deceived? How do we know that this isn't some individual who has this worldly message and wants to get it out? How do we know there's this Antichrist behind this shield?
Well, there are some definite markers that are in the Bible that will identify him. And these things are going to be unmistakable. For instance, Zechariah talks about an attack that's made on him in which he suffers a deadly wound, and he is blind in his right eye, and his arm is going to be useless after that.
You're talking about the Antichrist?
Yes.
So someone who's going to be blind in an eye with a useless arm.
But he won't come that way.
No.
Is going to happen.
It'll happen to him during
that tribulation time. He's going to put together a 10-nation confederation over there in the Middle East, and I'll tell you exactly how that's going to come about. There's going to be a conflict between what the Bible calls the king of the north and the king of the south. And it's talking about Egypt in the south, and it's talking about that area that Syria is in the north. And that's going to go back and forth. And out of that back and forth, the land area of Israel is going to be divided into 10 parts. And those Gentile powers are going to rule over that nation. Now, I know I just split my britches with a bunch of folks when I said that.
Well, that's kind of scary, though, because a lot of those events look like they could happen at any time.
They absolutely could. And that's part of the point of it. There are a lot of guys, I'm sure you probably had them on your program or you're familiar with it, that they say when Israel became a nation in 1948, that was the fulfillment of the prophecy and
right.
The back of the land. They're never going to be out again.
That's when the clock started to tick.
And that's not right. And there's a terribly important, critical reason why that's not right. And I'm going to tell you that when all that is going to change, this thing is going to change. And the reason I know is because the prophecy talks about a little thing called the times of the Gentiles. And when this rapture happens, Israel is going to go back under Gentile dominion, just like she has been for the entire fifth course of punishment. And that started back with the Babylonian captivity. It went to the Medes and Persians.
So that's a timeline.
That's a timeline that's in your Bible you can't get away from.
All right, hold on. Let's go to Barcelona, Spain. Frankie's with us. Go ahead, Frankie.
Hey, George. How are you?
Good, Frank. Thank you.
And Aaron and Michael, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Morning.
Okay, listen, the question that I have is that you have the American government has been under suspicion with working with aliens for quite some time, correct?
Yes.
And if the American government has been under suspicion, let's say that it's true, and the Antichrist would be someone that of alien origin, and that kind of, doesn't it kind of say that the Americans and aliens, this actually may be a bigger conspiracy, meaning that the Americans are actually
in cahoots with
such an event, in cohorts with that.
All right, let's get that answer when we come back in a moment. We're going to have this quick break. Our two special guests, Aaron Judkins, Michael McDaniel, we're talking about their work, Alien Agenda, interested in it, their website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. There is a toll-free number as well. That's 1-888-605-3202. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment, we shall take your final phone calls. I'll also tell you what's in store on our next Coast to Coast show, so don't touch your dial. We'll be right back. On our next Coast to Coast program, Walter Cruttenden joins us and Jason Martell as we talk about Planet X. Very similar than what we're talking about tonight, Planet X indeed. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go with our final segment here with Aaron Judkins and Michael McDaniel as we talk about their work, Alien Agenda. And our caller from Barcelona, Frankie, wanted to know if you think government, U.S. government specifically, might be in cahoots with these ETs. Aaron, what do you think?
Well, it's hard to say. I know we have reports from Roswell, and when I was out there in Roswell, I got to speak with Stanton Friedman, and of course he's probably considered the grandfather of ufology.
Well, sure is. I call him the father of modern day ufology.
There you go. And Stanton was a wonderful man, and so there is something it's very mysterious about why they won't release, and that is the U.S. government are very slow to release information. It makes you question: are they hiding something with this Carswell Air Force Base over here in Fort Worth, Texas, and close to the Stephenville area? The Air Force
did not admit for 10 days that there were had fighter jets in the area of Stephenville, which is just mind-boggling. It goes to show that, yes, there are something going on out there. Matter of fact, that they had to release the FAA reports to the Freedom of Information Act. So, you know, we know that the UFOs are real. It's the Air Force that's probably not real. It's very ridiculous when it comes to the release of information from our government. And I wish they would be more forthright and let people know that people have a right to know.
Okay, back to the calls. Let's go to Tony in Racine, Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Hey, Tony, welcome.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is a great show. I love it. It keeps me going, George.
You're welcome, my friend.
Yeah, it does. I've been trying to put the puzzles together, you know, the puzzle together. You know, you were talking about the pyramids and the shafts, right? And you say that one points to Orion and one points to Sirius. Why couldn't they, that what you're talking about, maybe that's where one of them comes from and maybe, like, the grays come from the other one? Is that possible? Because there's a good and there's an evil, right, in everything?
Well, it's possible, sure. We don't know exactly what they were doing. I know those aren't air shafts. Matter of fact, I got to meet the Egyptian antiquities director.
That was Zahi Hawass at the time,
Zahi Hawass.
Who's no longer, by the way.
Well, it's unfortunate what's going on over there in Egypt, and that whole Middle East is really in unstable situation. But what they're doing over there, they ran little cameras through up there, and they actually was blocked by a stone. And so, you know, these things are for a purpose. But what that purpose is not for air. It is something very different in the alignment that happens to be directly to that star Sirius and the constellation Orion. Points very specifically to what I think those pyramids are about.
Explain.
Well, I think those pyramids are not the tombs of the pharaohs. Now, some of them were in past, but not these particular pyramids at Cheops. These pyramids were, I think, in alignment with Orion's belt because they were actually worshiping those fallen angels. And so when they maybe have used that technology to build them in very specific parameters, it was to make a very clear and definitive statement that pyramid was a stargate to reach the heavens and the gods who they worshiped as gods, and that was those fallen angels.
Priscilla in Riverside, California, first-time caller. Hi, Priscilla.
Hi, George.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello, Michael and Aaron. I just wanted to make three quick points and take your insights off the air. The first one is that I completely agree with you that the Antichrist will rise from the bottomless pit. I also believe that his name is actually spoken of in the book of Revelation. He's called Apollyon and Abaddon. He's the angel of the pit, and he's the king over the fallen angels in the pit. There's also a story in of the Witch of Endor where she has a vision when Saul goes to see her, and she mentions that she sees gods rising from the pit or rising out of the earth. And I think that was like a little insight as to what would happen in the future. There's also a quick thing I wanted to mention about the Mark of the Beast, 666. I kind of think that that's a reference to maybe the beast's angelic number in the order of the angels as the 666th angel. And there's reference to Isaiah 40:26, where he says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might." I think that's a reference to God giving all the angels names and calling them out by their numbers. And then the last point I wanted to make was that I think that the rapture, I do believe it will happen, but I think that it happens after the beast rises from the pit, because the beast comes out of the pit in the fifth trumpet, and the seventh trumpet is when we will be raptured. So I would like to take your insight.
That's
on that.
A lot there for you, Michael. Go ahead.
Well, let me start with the last.
Aaron's there going, woo, glad it wasn't me.
Let me start with the last one first. A lot of people want to take that passage on the rapture where it talks about the last trump, and they want to go over to the seventh trumpet of Revelation. But the problem with that, and I would just ask folks to consider it, it's a free country. You can believe anything you want. But the problem with that is that seventh trumpet has to do with something that's happening in Daniel's 70th week, and the Apostle Paul is very clear that day cannot come until after the catching away. Now, and there's a reason for that, because there's two programs. There is something that is holding back the mystery of iniquity, that the man of sin will be revealed in his time. So although I agree with most everything she was talking about, that seventh trumpet is not the last trump. When you talk about the last trump at the rapture, there's a first and a last issue there, and those two trumps are for, first of all, the dead in Christ rise, and at the last trump, those that are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So there's the first and last issue, and it has to do specifically with the blessed hope. And I wouldn't connect that with the seventh trumpet of Revelation. She's right about the bottomless pit thing, that the Antichrist does rise out of the bottomless pit. Gosh, I was trying to make some notes here. George, you want to help me out? I can't remember.
Well the talking about that bottomless pit, I was always told the Antichrist didn't know that he does not know that he's the Antichrist. And listening to you and calls, it sounds like he already does.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely think he knows. Matter of fact, some of your readers will want to know this. Let me just throw this out real quickly. In Revelation 17:11, it talks about those seven heads that he is the eighth and he is of the seven. That's what I was referencing earlier. And then if you want to follow those through, you'll follow the king of the north through in Daniel 11. And actually, you'll find all of those Assyrian kings historically are mentioned in the Bible. And then you're going to get over to Daniel, who's going to give you the remaining prophecy on those that are yet to come up. And you'll see the king of the north and the king of the south and all that back and forth action in Daniel 11. And toward the end of that chapter, you find that Antichrist guy showing up. And all the things I've been talking about, the details are sitting in Daniel 11.
You know, there's different camps here, though, Michael and Aaron. One is, of course, extraterrestrial life is teeming in the universe on physical planets. They might have knowledge to have craft, and they came here, jump-started us, seeded us, did whatever. And then, of course, what you two have been talking about, and that's this other dimensional realm of something very dark.
Well, in all honesty, let me say that if they're right, we don't have near as much to worry about.
Could we have both right, you and them?
I think those are mutually exclusive, and the only reason I say that is because one of those is based on a creationist view that comes from the Bible. The other one is going to, and someone might come along and try to put those together, George, now that I think about it, and say, well, God did it, but that's how he did it. Now, I guess someone could mold the two together that way.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Louie in Barstow, California. Hey, Louie, go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You've heard of the Antichrist, right?
Yes, that's what we've been talking about.
Okay. Now, there's a new Antichrist in town. The Jewish Antichrist, 666 plus tax.
Okay, what's your point, Louis?
Okay. Now, from the latest news from the house of Lucifer, the Virgin Mary is not a virgin anymore. She's pregnant with the son of Satan, also known as the dragon, the great destroyer. And guess who that is?
Who?
Apophis.
That's the asteroid.
That's right.
2036. What about calamities, Michael? Are we going to have a lot of Earth calamities?
Yeah, there is going to be those. The Bible details those. And the problem is everybody wants to start working that into the present day, and that's not going to be happening until those beginning of sorrows is the way the Bible categorizes that, and that won't be until after the rapture. Doesn't mean we don't have earthquakes, and I've seen all those studies where people say, oh, we had this many, 50 years ago, and this many 30 years ago, and this many 10 years ago, and look, it's all going up. All that's irrelevant, because what's going to be happening out there is unlike anything we've ever seen.
All right, Aaron, it's your turn. Well, no, it's not. I'm looking at Dan now in California. Go ahead, Dan.
Hello. I got a couple of comments. You remember when you had Hal Lindsey on, George,
a
while back?
Yeah, I sure do.
Well, he said something that he thought when Israel became a nation again in 1948, that would start the last generation. And he made a mistake in thinking a generation was only 40 years. But the Bible didn't say till a generation generates another generation. The Bible says that everything would be fulfilled in that last generation before they all died. And, of course, we know that's 70 years. So if you add 70 to 48, guess what? 2018. So we got 6 years left to go to, if Hal Lindsey's right about 48 starting the last generation.
Before it kicks in, look out.
Now my question about the seventh trumpet. Hal Lindsey also said that in his opinion, the seventh trumpet in the book of Revelations would be the last one. Whether he's right about that or not remains to be seen, but two events do take place at the last trumpet. I read about it in the book of Revelations there a couple of weeks ago. One is the big earthquake that levels every city on the planet all at the same time, and no mountains or islands could be found. And the other one is what you call the rapture, I call the rescue. And it does sound like the rescue goes along with that big earthquake. And one more quick thing in closing. If the time wasn't shortened, no flesh would make it alive. But for God's elect's sake, the time will be shortened. And, George, I think we're living in that shortening of the time right now.
Well, you may not be alone when it comes to that. That's for sure. But another one for you, Michael.
Well, let's do the 2018 thing. First of all, the prophecy in Daniel is pretty clear that it's a week of years. That's 7 years. We're in 2012. If you're going to do 7 years, you're not going to be able to get it in there. The other thing is that's 7 years from the covenant that the Antichrist is going to orchestrate between Israel and our enemies. We don't have that. So how much longer will we wait before we'll see that covenant? See, that's my whole idea. This is not going to be happening until after the blessed hope, until after the rapture. And I know that folks have different ideas about that, and that's fine. But I've got to tell you that this timetable you're listening to, and George, you'll be on the air for a while.
I will.
Cheers from now, you're going to say Mike was right.
I just may. And
well,
I'll help you back.
That timetable won't work.
Okay, let's go to Stan in Miami Beach in Florida. Good morning, Stan. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Oh, what a miracle that I'm online with you.
Super.
I just want to share my personal philosophy about, like,
all right,
your show
the clock,
and your guests.
And the clock's coming, so if I have to push you, I'll let you know. Go ahead.
No problem. No, all it is that basically during the course of my life, I'm 52 years old right now, is I've experienced a lot, and I've had traditional upbringing, you know, my early years and everything, learned a lot. But what I've really taken away from all of everything that I've experienced in my life is that a healthy skepticism is the most important, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Primary resource, I mean, I remember one thing I took away from my college education back then in the 70s was primary resource. And one of the shortfalls of many of your guests is the lack of primary resource. These people, they talk about a lot of things. And I love, like, I swear I love 99% of it. I love it. It's like the reverse of the 1%. 99% your guests are 99% on the money. But there's at least 1% that's like sort of like missing it. And it's all about primary resource and a healthy skepticism. I mean, maybe today the closest thing to a healthy skepticism is shamanism or, back to nature, simplification of life.
Well, now let me ask you, Stan, ETs coming from other planets or are they coming from other dimensions?
Oh, ETs. You know what is? I did some experimentation like about a decade ago with something called
I need an answer. I'm out of time. Go ahead. Where are they coming from?
Well, no, ETs. ETs, well, depending on your definition of ETs, ETs, extra-dimensional, extra-planetarial, they're there. But you know what? We represent, we experience such a tiny segment of the, you know, electromagnetic spectrum in the universe that why can't there be ETs when we probably, what we experience is maybe like 0.1% of 1% of the full energy spectrum in the universe. Of course there's fucking other things going on. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it. Of course.
All right, see ya. Let's go to Michael in Gilbert, Arizona. Nope, we're not going to have time for that. The clock has got both of us. Aaron Judkins and Michael McDaniel, what do you guys do next?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, I'm working on that film, George, that new documentary called Hidden Mountain and the Las Lunas Mystery Stone. And that's what's coming down the pike here, be released this fall. And that's going to be a tremendous documentary, Paleo-Hebrew in the New Mexico desert. And so, as far as anything else, me and Mike are, we're always on the go doing something. And you can, actually, if you want to follow me on Facebook, I'm on Facebook at Man versus Archaeology.
Ah, you're using the new technology, huh?
Yes, and I'm doing a giveaway on there, and people can go on and or they can go on to Facebook and type in Alien Agenda Book. You can follow us both ways there.
All right. Well, good luck to both of you. The name of this book, Alien Agenda, The Return of the Nephilim, whether you believe ETs are coming from other planetary systems or other dimensions, wherever, it's pretty darn fascinating. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.